kind of like Ruth. Robert Fulghum says it so beautifully in his book, All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. All I really need to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile at Sunday school. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work each day some. Take a nap every afternoon. When you go into the world, watch out for traffic, hold hands, and stick together. The book of Ruth is not often studied and quoted, but it carries an important message. It's nestled in the historical books of the Hebrew Scriptures, what we now call the Old Testament. These books, these historical books, describe God's relationship with the people of Israel and the events that shaped this relationship. The book of Ruth has just four chapters, and the word kindness in the New International Version is used three times in the book. Let's talk about kindness. Kindness comes from the Lord. Kindness comes from the Lord. Let's look at the book of Ruth. Can you find it? So it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. There is that little book called Ruth. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 8. And in Ruth 1, 1 to 8, instructions are made and the stage is set for a great story. Let's look at it. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me." Let's pray for a moment. Lord, we pray that you would show us what you want us to learn from the example of Ruth and from this story in the book of Ruth. We pray that your word would change us, and Lord, we would come to know your heart. We would show kindness to the world around us. Show your kindness to the world around us. Would you, Lord, speak to us about the adjustments that we need to make in order for this to happen? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Life certainly has its ups and downs. Naomi had lived through a famine and then through the deaths of her husband and her sons. She had to make a change in order to survive. In the middle of such a deep valley in her life, Naomi speaks a great blessing over her daughters-in-law. May the Lord show kindness to you. Kindness is listed amongst the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, verse 22. We all carry traits of God that are broken and blurred. And that's why when you look around society, we see examples of kindness and we think, well, people aren't all bad. That's true. People aren't all bad. There are traits of God found in people. And where you see kindness exhibited in society and amongst people that don't even know Jesus, those are character traits of God. Those are aspects of God's image. Unfortunately, kindness is all too rare in our hearts and in our society. Let me be clear. None of us can earn our way into heaven by being kind to people. We can't make brownie points with God and do enough acts of kindness to gain eternal life. None of us can produce the fruit of the Spirit of kindness by trying hard enough, by clenching our fists and gritting our teeth and saying, I'm really going to be a kind person, and then kindness becomes a hallmark of our lives. The Lord is the source and the giver of kindness. Let's acknowledge that He is the source of all kindness. It's no coincidence that many charities that we have come to recognize and appreciate today have been started by followers of Jesus. Look at the history of many of the charities in our nation and in the nations, and you will find a common thread through many of them, and that is, they knew Jesus. And it's God who is the author and the source of kindness that has prompted people, called people to start these charitable organizations. Stop and consider the kindness that the Lord has shown to you throughout your life. If you were to look back on your life and reflect on how the Lord has been kind to you, it inspires us. It inspires the people around us. And when we can give thanks for that, when we can tell others of God's kindness, then others will recognize that He is the source of kindness. Events, people, and provision all come to mind when we think of God's kindness in our lives. Let's take a moment to offer thanks for His kindness. Lord, thank You for Your kindness that You have shown to us. We acknowledge You as the source of all kindness. You are the kind one. You are the one whose heart overflows with love and expresses Yourself in kindness, and we are very grateful for how You have been so good, so kind to us. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Kindness comes from the Lord. He is the source. Kindness focuses on others. A woman writes of her experience as a teacher. She says, I was testing the children in my Sunday school class to see if they understood the concept of getting to heaven. I asked them if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all my money to the church, would that get me into heaven? No, the children answered. If I cleaned the church every day, mowed the yard, and kept everything neat and tidy, would that get me into heaven? Again, the answer was no. By now, I was starting to smile. Hey, this was a lot of fun. Well then, if I was kind to animals and gave candy to all the children and loved my husband, would that get me into heaven? I asked them again. Again, they all answered, no. I was just bursting with pride for them. Well, I continued, then how can I get into heaven? A 5-year-old boy shouted out, you gotta be dead! After the men in the lives of Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah had been suddenly and tragically taken from them, they were left vulnerable, without protection, without provision. Naomi headed for her homeland of Judah and decided to release her daughters-in-law to return to their families in Moab. She said, I'm going home. You can go back to your home. Orpah chose to leave Naomi for normal, fulfilling pursuits. We can certainly understand why Orpah went back to her homeland after her husband had died. She wanted to be back in familiar, comfortable surroundings where she could settle down, remarry, and raise a family. I don't blame her for that desire. That's a good desire. When life rains on a person, kindness holds out an umbrella. Ruth made some decisions that reveal an extraordinary heart of kindness. Ruth decided to stay with Naomi and to serve the Lord with her. Ruth would leave everything that was comfortable and familiar to her and start a new life in Judah. She knew there were no government departments or social agencies that would take care of her mother-in-law. Ruth knew that Naomi was advancing in years while she still had a good part of her life ahead of her. But Ruth laid all of that down and chose to go back to Judah with her mother-in-law, Naomi. So instead of focusing on her own wants and needs, she committed to serving God and to serving Naomi. A Japanese proverb observes, "A kind word can warm 3 months of winter." The two women arrived in Bethlehem just at the beginning of the barley harvest. Ruth went right to work, realizing that no food hampers were going to be delivered to their doorstep. They had to do something to earn their keep. Gleaning in those days was a means by which an agriculture-based society provided for the less fortunate. So what they would do, harvesters would leave stalks of grain in the field behind for the poor, the hungry, and motivated citizens to gather for their families. So they left the gleanings for people to come and gather up for themselves and for their families. Ruth happened to enter the field of a man named Boaz. Was it a coincidence? Was it luck? Ruth 2, 17 to 22 reveals the plan of God through these circumstances. Ruth chapter 2, look at verses 17 to 22. "So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, 'Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you.' Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. 'The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz,' she said. 'The Lord bless him,' Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. 'He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead.' She added, 'That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers.' Then Ruth, the Moabitess, said, 'He even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.' Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you might be harmed.'" Since Naomi's husband had died and their two sons had died, Ruth had another opportunity to show kindness to her mother-in-law. After they arrived back in Judah, Ruth went to work. And without a male heir, the land that once rightfully belonged to Naomi's deceased husband would be lost permanently. They were in a tight spot. This would leave, if this land was lost, this would leave Naomi with no long-term means to generate revenue. If they were hooped then, they would be even in worse shape if this land was lost. As the opportunity arose, however, Naomi came up with a plan to redeem or buy back the real estate that was once in their immediate family. I enjoy Aesop's fables. Aesop, the man who wrote Aesop's fables, concluded, "No act of kindness, no matter how small, is ever wasted." At any point, Ruth could have walked out and returned to Moab to settle down, find a young husband, have children, and live out her days in a normal, comfortable manner. She could have hightailed it out of there, went back to Moab, and returned to a normal life. Instead, out of kindness expressed for Naomi, she followed through on Naomi's plan and approached Boaz. Boaz recognized Ruth's selflessness and kindness. Look at Ruth chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. Ruth 3, verses 10 and 11. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character." In Bethlehem, Ruth was permitted to glean in the field of Boaz, a wealthy kinsman of Elimelech. Elimelech was the deceased husband of Naomi. At Naomi's urging, Ruth asked for protection from Boaz as next of kin. This was a reflection of the Hebrew law. And so in that culture, in that society, these kinsmen redeemers would be eligible to help out in a situation like this. After a closer relative waived his right to buy the family property and provide Elimelech an heir, Boaz married Ruth. So we see here kindness in the heart of Ruth, and we see here kindness in the heart of Boaz. Boaz didn't have to marry Ruth and redeem the property. Instead, he chose to do it. Then they gave birth to a son, and their son Obed was considered one of Naomi's family according to the custom of the day. Naomi became a grandmother through the kindness of her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Let me ask you, what could you do to express kindness to someone this week? Is there someone that you know that's going through a difficult time? Someone who has life raining on them? Is there someone that you could hold out an umbrella to them and help them, be kind to them? What kind word could you bless someone with this week? May the Lord show you the opportunities to show kindness, to express kindness through what you do and through what you say. Kindness comes from the Lord. Kindness focuses on others, and the Lord rewards kindness. The Lord rewards kindness. I have a profound question for you. What kind of man was Boaz before he married? Do you know the answer, Brenda? What is it? Ruthless. Actually, both Ruth and Boaz were known by family, friends, and employees and co-workers as kind people. Ruth is mentioned one other time outside the book of Ruth. It's interesting that we hear nothing more of Orpah, her sister-in-law. I wonder, could Orpah have been a dyslexic ancestor of Oprah? Something to ponder. Genealogies appear in various parts of the Bible, and usually only the fathers and not the mothers. It's a great honor in the Jewish culture to be in the lineage of significant historical figures. To be found in the genealogy of the Messiah is truly amazing. And that's exactly where we read the other reference to Ruth. Look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew 1, verses 5 and 6. Matthew 1, verses 5 and 6. We can read the genealogies and wonder, what is the significance of genealogies? To the Jewish people, genealogies were highly significant. And here is an example of how a genealogy can be very significant. Matthew 1, verses 5 and 6. "Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David." Did you catch it there? Ruth is mentioned in the genealogy of King David, who was in the genealogy of the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Ruth was from the country of Moab, so by birth, she had no right to become the grandmother of King David. She had no right to be noted 1,300 years later as an ancestor of the Messiah, King Jesus. In the midst of billions of people that have lived in obscurity, Ruth's name is forever etched in the family tree of kings. Here her name emerges. The Lord rewarded Ruth's kindness. When I was a boy, I suffered from asthma and hay fever. I had allergies, and having all of these growing up on a farm made summers tough. Many nights, I struggled to breathe. I had restless nights. But I also remember my mom being available by my side, my bedside, many of those nights, filling the vaporizer, providing cough syrup, even a cold, damp cloth on my forehead, whatever she could do to help me relax, catch my breath, and have a good night's sleep. It's amazing how acts of kindness can make an impression. All these many years later, I remember Mom's acts of kindness. Likewise, I'm sure that you can remember people's acts of kindness that they demonstrated toward you and how that has made an impact on you. As you pass on the Lord's kindness to other people, you will make far more impact in this world than you had ever dreamed possible. Kindness makes a difference. When you build your life upon the foundation of faith in Jesus, acts and words of kindness can, in addition to making a difference in other people's lives, actually help you store up eternal treasures in heaven. When you let the Lord's kindness flow through you, you are actually storing up treasures in heaven. It is truly more blessed to give than to receive. Kindness comes from the Lord. Kindness focuses on others, and the Lord rewards kindness. A life well lived is found in caring for others. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you are the source of all kindness. We recognize and honor you. We give you thanks. And Lord, would you use us to speak words of kindness, to share acts of kindness with other people? We ask that your kindness would flow through us and make a difference. And we do it in the name of Jesus. We speak it in the words and the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen.